Well, notice my clock's not up here, so we'll forget about the time. No, I actually have my clock here, so keeping an eye on things. We've been looking at faith for the last 3 weeks. This is our fourth week, and it's a subject that we could spend the rest of the year on, of course, but we're not going to. It's foundational to how we live our lives, and I want to put this into some practical application today. You know, last week, and I've said this many times, each person needs to look at their life and they see what is going on in their particular circumstances, and then based on that, they make faith decisions. I think everyone makes faith decisions, but Christians need to train their thinking how to decide based on what is going on in my life right now, what to do and how to act and how to deal with the circumstances. I can't tell you exactly what to do. I can point at general principles. Even when I'm counseling someone and we're getting into details, I can't actually tell you, now this is what you do. Now I can make some suggestions. But what I try and do is say, look at what the scripture is telling us to do. Now, what do you think you need to do based on what the Bible is telling you to do? Let me give you an example. The Bible says, as much as is within you, live at peace with all people. That's a general principle. And we all say, yes, that's good. But how do you apply that to your life? You might be at work working with someone. It's very, very difficult. You have a difficult coworker, but you don't have to spend a lot of time with that person. So you found the only way you can live at peace with that person is just kind of, you know, don't hang out around with them. And that's okay. Is that a faith decision? Are you saying the best way for me to deal with this really difficult person, I've tried this and I've tried that, it's just kind of avoid any kind of conflict, avoid anything that's not necessary. My question is that a faith decision? Did you make that based on your faith or based on how you felt? Now, applying that at home doesn't work real well. You might not be getting along with someone at home, but you know, to avoid them may not be the best way to apply your faith. You see what I'm saying? We have to look at our lives and say, in this particular circumstance, what's the best way? What am I going to do? And so I want to look at a general principle today in which each one of us can put our faith into action. And that's what we looked at on a couple of weeks, is how faith is an action word. It's we have to do things. And we spent a lot of time in James last week looking at how faith and action is interlocked together. And I think if you apply this to your life, it may very well change the course of your life by applying this principle. My son actually pointed it out to me. Julie and I were having lunch with him on Friday a week ago. And he pointed out this principle, and it stirred me to really study. It just kind of like one of those light bulb moments. I didn't know I had such a smart son. Takes after his mother well. And I'm naming it. This is not his name. I'm going to name this. And it's kind of a funny name. Or it's weird, whatever. But the principle of inquiry. Or as they say in British countries, the principle of inquiry. Whichever one you want to say. And I'll show you why I name it that in a moment. You know, we are questioning people. We live our lives asking questions. I mean, half of you just ask, why did I name that way? What does that mean? We continually asking. You could say we are a seeking race. So the humans are a seeking race of people. We're always looking. We're always seeking. Anything from what's for dinner to what's the meaning of life? Both extremes of, you know, things, just what am I going to eat today and why am I here on this planet? Does he like me? Does she like me? How should I approach this interview? Where should I go for a vacation? I mean, the questions that we just roll in our mind just are endless. We could say we're in a continual dialogue with ourselves and others, asking and seeking questions. But here's the question: where do we find our answers? We're always asking questions, but where do you find your answers? Blogs, bookstores, filled with information on how we can answer our questions. We go to YouTube. I was on YouTube, I believe, yesterday. I'm having a problem with my Ford pickup with the heat. If someone knows what to do, I'm asking. I got on YouTube. I took apart the throttle body. I didn't know how to do this. Well, I got on YouTube, took it apart, cleaned it, put it back together. Didn't work. Changed the fuse. Went over to my mom's house, got a little pair of pliers that I needed to get in that fuse box. You just can't reach in there and do it. Put a new fuse in. Didn't work. Took apart the panel in the front. Unplugged something, plugged it back in. Still cold. Just looking, you know, YouTube answers, some kind of gives us some answers, but maybe not always the right answers. How do we discipline our children? How do we discipline ourselves? Answers concerning money, relationships, communication, dealing with conflict. In fact, what is Google but a search engine answering our questions, right? We're always asking questions. Family and friends give us answers. Sometimes it's unsolicited advice that we appreciate. Sometimes it's unsolicited advice we don't appreciate. But the bottom line is this: many times we decide and find our answers based on what feels right for me at this moment. A lot of our answers comes from what I think, what I feel like at this moment. Proverbs 21 verse 2 says, "All a man's ways seems right to him, but the Lord weighs the hearts." Seldom, it happens sometimes, seldom do we make a choice knowing, hey, I'm going to make this choice knowing it's going to destroy my life. We do sometimes. It's an awful thing. But most of the time we think this is the best thing at this moment, and we pursue that. We need to learn as Christians to transform our thinking. Learn how not to react in situations, but learn to act out the way God has prescribed, has taught us how to act. And that's really what sanctification is. A big word that seems to be religious, but it just means I'm growing, I'm transforming, I'm changing into the person that God has meant for me to be. So this principle of inquiry, the Bible teaches us how to find correct answers, how to ask the right questions even, on the important things of life. Of course, the Bible doesn't tell us how to find what's wrong with your car, but it does tell us how to live our lives and really have the right attitude when my car isn't working the way it should work. That's what the Bible teaches me how to live. That part of action faith is putting into practice, part of this action faith is putting into practice inquiring of God, learning how to seek God's will, learning how to ask God. As followers of God, we need to examine our faith, and we need to ask, are we seeking answers based on biblical principles or worldly principles? It is so easy for me to think the way the world directs me to think. We don't even notice it. We're just thinking, and we don't evaluate and say, am I thinking the way God wants me to think? Am I following spiritual, biblical principles, or am I following worldly principles? And it's so easy to slide into the worldly way of thinking. And that's why that first scripture that I didn't read, but is on the first screen, said, examine your faith. Test your faith. And that's what we're trying to do. Do our answers come out of a Christ-centered life, or do our answers come out of a me-centered life? This is fundamental. This is important. It shows the essence of our thinking. It shows us ultimately the direction of our lives. And here's a key that Matthew shared with me. As you read through the scriptures, you'll see that those who inquired of the Lord had good results, generally speaking. And those who didn't had bad results. Let's just take a few examples real quick of this. Let me look at my time here. I'm going to just point out these real quick. The first one is in Judges chapter 1. And I found this, as I was reading this, I found this really, really interesting. Judges chapter 1, verse 1 says, after the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, who will be the first to go up and fight for us against the Canaanites? The Lord answered, Judah is to go. The very first verses find a people seeking and inquiring of God. And if you flip all the way to the very last verse of Judges, it says, in those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. And I looked at that, and I don't know if God planned this when the book was written, but you have on one end of Judges, people seeking God, and on the other end, seeking their own direction. And in between, you see both. You see people seeking God, and you see people seeking their own direction. And it's almost as if you could say Judges is saying, look at this, seek God, things go well. Don't seek God, things don't go so well. Let me give you an example. In Judges chapter 20, verse 18 through 23, this is a really intense time. We're not going to go into the story in depth. You can read it yourself. But life is threatened here. There's a struggle between fellow Israelites, and it's an awful story. It really is. If you want to, you know, read something that's, you know, back up, and you'll go, wow, is that in the Bible? You know, some of the things you read here, you don't want to do in the presence of little children in graphic detail. I mean, some bad stuff is happening here. But in the midst of all this, the 11 of the tribes are saying, what should we do about this tribe of Benjamin, our fellow brothers? Should we attack them? Should we deal with this big problem that we have? And if you see in verse 18, it says the Israelites went up to Bethel and inquired of the Lord, of God. They said, who of us shall go up first to fight against the Benjaminites? Is that how you say it? Benjaminites. that little tribe. All right, the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Skip down to verse 23. It says, the Israelites went up and wept before the Lord until evening. This is intense. They inquired of the Lord. They said, shall we go up to battle against them? Should we do it? They're not sure. This is an intense time. And then in verse 27 again, he says, they fasted that day until evening. They presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. And the Israelites inquired of the Lord. In other words, you see these people, they're really, it's an intense time. This is going to change. People are going to die. And so they're making some decisions here. And they're asking the Lord here three times. Should we do this? We heard you say yes, but should we really do this? Three times. One of the first times we see it, inquiring of the Lord, I find this really interesting. In Genesis chapter 25, and I think the word inquire is the first time it's used. The previous chapter, you find someone asking God some questions. But here we find, it's a very short one, verse 25-22, we have Rebecca. And Rebecca is pregnant. And it says in verse 22, the babies jostled each other within her. And she said, like most women, what's happening to me? You know, but this is a lot of activity, I guess. This is more than usual. She's wondering, something is going on here. And so it says, so she went and inquired of the Lord. She has a physical thing happening here. There's a spiritual connection, you can read it. But something's happening here. She's not saying, what is the spiritual answer to my problem here? She's just saying, whoo, something's going on here. And what it is twin boys fighting each other in the womb. You know, they started early, that fight. It's a physical issue. That's the main point I want to say. Another thing is sometimes when you're afraid of the answer, we find this in 1 Kings, another really interesting story. 1 Kings chapter 22, read it. We'll go in, not going into any detail, but we have two kings, the king of Judah, the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat's the king of Judah. Ahab is the king of Israel. And so Jehoshaphat goes to Ahab, and they're, discussing politics. And there's this town that used to be theirs, and he says, well, no, we need to go and take that. And so he asked Jehoshaphat in verse 4, will you go with me to fight against Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people, your horses, my horses, your horses. But then Jehoshaphat also said to the king, first seek the counsel of the Lord. Let's seek the counsel of the Lord. And so Ahab brings in 400 prophets, and it doesn't say prophets of the Lord, it just says prophets. And all these 400 come in and say, yes, you can do it, God's with you, go and take it. And then in verse 8, the king of Israel answered verse 7, Jehoshaphat asked, is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? Something about these 400 prophets didn't set right with him. And he's like, I'm not so sure about this. 400 saying, do it. That's almost twice the number of people here. And so they bring in, he says, well, there is one man whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah. I like Jehoshaphat's reply. The king should not say that. You shouldn't say that about him. Well, they bring him in. As they bring him in, they say, hey, listen, 400 are saying do it. You need to do it too. You need to say go. He gets in there. He says, he says, I can only tell him what God tells me. But they ask him, and he says, should we go? And he says, yeah, you go ahead and do it. And he must have said it in a sarcastic way, because he says, attack and be victorious, for the Lord will give it to the king's hand. The king in verse 16 said to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? In other words, it must have come across sarcastic. Yeah, go ahead and do what you want to do. Then Micaiah answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. It's not the 400 are saying go. I'm telling you, it's going to be disastrous, is what he said. It wasn't the answer they wanted to hear from the Lord. And they went against that advice. And death happened too. You can read the whole story. Last one, the Gibeonites in Joshua chapter 9, verse 14. Another long story. Basically, Joshua and the Israelites were coming to the land of Canaan. They were taking it through battle. And the Gibeonites were like, man, we're going to die. Let's come up with a plan. The plan was they would get old clothes, old shoes, old food, and they would go into the camp and say, hey, we've traveled a long ways to make peace with you, because they knew they weren't making peace with people. And they said, how do we know you're from a long ways away? And he says, well, look at this food. It was right out of the oven when we got it, and now it's hard and moldy and old, and our shoes were new when we started walking. Look in the condition they are in. And here's the point I want to say. The Bible says, it says, but they did not inquire of the Lord. They made a treaty 400 years later. Saul broke the treaty, and Saul paid the price for that treaty. They did not inquire of the Lord. Let's look at inquiring of the Lord today. There's a lot we don't know of this, all these stories. When you read these stories, you're going to ask, why? How? It just says the Lord says. We don't know why he said it or how he said it. Did he do it through a priest? Did they hear a voice? That's not the point. The point is this. Inquiring of the Lord and seeking his answers is the right thing to do. That's where we are today. We need to inquire of the Lord, seek him, and it's the right thing to do. This word inquire, and that's why I use the word inquire instead of ask, It's a deeper word than just ask. It means to seek. It means to ponder. It means to study. It means to investigate. Ask. I like this. It means to seek with application. How do I apply this to my life? It means to follow. It means to practice. And so we see the fulfillment of these Old Testament scriptures are found in the New Testament. And it's in a lifestyle of asking. Over in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7 and 8, Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And all three of those says literally, ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking. It's this continual way of a lifestyle in our life. The seeking, the knocking part of the inquiry is, I think, seeking his will in his word. That's how we study. That's how we investigate. That's how we find out what is God's will, by studying his word. And we're not emphasizing that today, even though I think that's a theme that I emphasize. But that's part of this inquiry, this inquiring of the Lord, is going to his word and studying his word. We need to learn how to ask in faith. James, going over to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. He says there, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. And that word ask there is the same word that Jesus used when he said ask and keep on asking. Ask God, and who gives graciously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. In other words, we need to be asking in faith. We need to be inquiring of the Lord in faith. When we study his word, we say, I know God has the answers to my problems. Where are they? And begin applying these things to our lives. What are we truly wanting to ask God for? We ask God for things. We ask God to bless us. But I believe there's something deeper when we're inquiring of the Lord. We see in the Old Testament there, people inquired of the Lord with physical problems. There's nothing wrong with that. You have a physical problem? Yes, inquire of the Lord. In times of intense times of choice, that's a good time to ask the Lord. Major decisions in your life? Yes, inquire of the Lord. But I think it's even more than that. Asking, inquiring of the Lord, I think is primarily to help me focus my mind and center my thinking where it should be. How am I supposed to think? Asking focuses my life on who it is that guides and leads me and gives me the answers to all situations in my life. I'm going to try and find this real quickly. It came in this morning's Central Family Facebook. Let me see how good I am at this. You'll get to see how good I am at this. Come on. Central Family. Central Members Private Group. That's it right there. It's worth the wait, I think. Something about vegetables there. No. All right. So, and I didn't ask permission, so I'm not going to name this person. But they quoted a devotional thought, and the last part of it is this. When you spend precious moments with me, God speaking, I compensate you generously. I clarify your thinking and smooth out the circumstances of your life. This is what I want you to listen to, her response. This is so true and has happened in my life. Since I have made God the center of my life, he has helped me feel less stressful in my daily activities. He has helped me to schedule my days accordingly. God first, my family, work, helping others has been the recipe for my fulfilled and joyful life. In other words, the prayer is to center myself on God, not help me be less stressful and center on being less stressful. You see what I'm saying? This is fundamental to your Christian walk. Instead of saying, God, help me because I'm stressed, saying, God, help me to focus on you. And the result is, I'm less stressed. That's the beautiful thing about seeking God first, focusing on Him. And so it's not just seeking the answer to all my problems. It's wrapped up in the person that God calls me to be. God doesn't want to just handle my stressful situation. God wants to transform me into the person He wants me to be. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1 and 2. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. You know what's so neat about this? He's saying, if you're one of those who pursue righteousness, you're seeking God, what you want to do is look at the rock from which you are a part of. You've been hewn from that rock. And what is that? We sang it, our first song that we sang. We used the rock in Him whom, you sang it. I sang it too. I can't remember the words. Yeah, rock in the shelter in this time of storm. He's a rock. All right. Comes from this passage here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. That's in the Old Testament. And he says, and guess what? They didn't know it, but that rock was Christ. That's the rock from which we're hewn from. This is who we focus our lives on. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Since your life is new, listen, set your heart, and literally that word is seek. That's the word. We translate set your hearts. The word is seek. Things above. Put your focus on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. And I like this, set your minds, and literally the word there is think. Use your mind on things above and not earthly things. What does this look like in everyday practical life? How do I apply this to the mommy with 3 and 4 little ones around her feet, to the person working long hours? How do you apply this to the business owner, those who leave work and then go home to just more responsibilities? All the things in our lives, how do we seek the things above when life is full and things are happening and people are in our lives? What does spiritual thinking and spiritual seeking look like when I'm working on my budget and when I'm dealing with my emotions and when I'm disciplining children and when I'm fixing dinner? What does spiritual thinking look like? Do I divide my life into my spiritual life and my physical life? Dinner is physical and then praying is spiritual? Or is there some way that God brings this whole life together and everything spiritual, which is what I believe the scriptures teach us? Here's a practical way, and this goes back to when I promised if you put this into practice, it may change the course of your life. Of putting your faith into action, learning to seek the Lord continually, learning how to inquire of the Lord always. How? Little prayers in everyday life. When you begin to put little prayers all throughout your life, it'll redirect your life, refocus your life. Matthew was sharing things with me like this. You're going into a meeting. You don't want to go into that meeting. There's a lot of tension there. God, help me be the person you want me to be in this meeting. That's it. That's the inquiring of the Lord, asking of the Lord. How do I deal with my children in this situation? They're all different. What's the why? Lord, help me to be wise as I do this. As I come drive up into the house, Matthew is working and then he's going to school, online school, and he has an hour between school and work with his family, and he'll pray, Lord, help me to focus and spend the time I need to, the way I need to in this hour that I have, before I have to say no and get into the back bedroom and begin my studies. See, we just kind of divide it. We just say, well, church time, that's spiritual, and then and my prayer time is spiritual, my Bible time is spiritual, and then kids, get out of my way, And we don't even treat them the way the scripture is telling us to treat them. See what I'm saying? These little prayers all throughout my life. Is God a part of those areas in your life, or just when you need him in big things? If we learn to seek him in the little things, he'll be the center of your life. This is seeking him. This is putting him first in the big and the small. And we need to learn the lesson that inquiring of God, even on the trivial things of life, this is how you center your life in God. This is how you center your life in Christ. A life of asking, bringing God before me in every situation. It's not an attitude of, I'll take care of most of my life, God, thank you. But the big things, I'll come to you. We'll talk about that. But it's throughout my whole life. There's a time that we have long nights of prayer, times of fasting. We saw a couple. But how I interact with God daily really shows me where I've set my heart. Where have you set your heart? Where have you set your thinking? And if God is out there somewhere all in the day, behind you, away from you, your heart's not set where it needs to be set. And you'll find that God works with you and through you in every little situation. You'll walk away from a situation and say, wow, I would have never thought of that. God just worked that out of my life. Because you've sought him, you've inquired of him, you've put him forefront of your life. Colossians 3, verse 3, right after that says this, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's just, you're in the envelope of Christ. And that's how God wants us to walk through our life, in every little area of our life. Are you inquiring of God? Are you seeking God? Are you pursuing him? Not just in your Bible study, not just in your prayer, but in every moment of your life. I want to encourage us all to do that. This morning, Julie showed me a little. We were having lunch with Matthew, and she put on a bracelet. And I, you know, good husband that I am, I didn't notice. But she showed it to me today and said, every time I feel it, I remember, inquire of the Lord. Ask the Lord. See, we need those little memory cues, don't we? You might need to tie a string around your finger every time you see it. Just say, oh, got to remember, inquire of the Lord. That's how we need to live our life. If you need to respond to perhaps not an invitation, but just your life, respond to your life, and you want to seek God's will in your life, if you want to talk to the elders about that, get their prayers, we're going to invite you to come forward. If you want to turn your life completely over to Christ, as Chris did last Wednesday, have your sins washed away as you're turned from your sins and immersed, we ask you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.